Good News Broadcasting Association presents Back to the Bible. I hope you'll join us for the next half hour as we present some beautiful music which expresses God's love and faithfulness. We have a special guest speaker on today's program, and he'll be introduced by Theodore M.
I love to tell a story.
Oh, my God. Last spring, it was our privilege to have here at the broadcast as our guest speaker for our people, sort of a spiritual life type of a conference, Brother Wendell Grout, pastor in Calgary, Alberta. God bless those messages while he was with us here. We appreciated them very, very much. And we asked him to leave us some messages on tape for your benefit, too. And so he's going to give us 6 messages in all on the Book of Ruth. You'll want to read the Book of Ruth, be familiar with it, and study together with us. And so after the next song, which will be by Vernon Friesen and Marilyn Sundin on Thy Will Be Done, you're going to be hearing from our brother, Wendell Grout, from Alberta, or Calgary, Alberta, giving us the first message on the Book of Ruth.
Savior, and lead me lest I stray.
Is a much loved book. And I believe that there are a number of reasons why this is so. It's a very warm and human book. It's a book to which we can readily relate. It's a book of sorrow, and yet it's a book of great joy. It's a book in which there are tremendous losses sustained by some of the characters in the book. And yet it's a book in which there are tremendous gains. It's a book that opens on a minor key, but it builds to a beautiful crescendo and closes on a major note of joy and triumph. The setting for the Book of Ruth is given to us in the very first verse. We read there this: Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. This tells us that the incidents recorded in the book of Ruth occurred during the days when the judges ruled. Anyone who's familiar with the Old Testament knows that those were very distressing days. They were the days that stretched out between Joshua and Samuel, days that have been characterized in the thinking of some as the dark ages of Israel's history. It was a time of anarchy, of lawlessness, of immorality, of idolatry. It was a time of gross indecency. It was a time when men were going their own way, and men were disregarding the Word of God and living selfish lives. And yet in the midst of this moral darkness, we have the story of Ruth, one of the most beautiful stories in all the Bible. And it focuses on godly people, people who believed God in a day when most people did not believe Him, people who lived for God in a day when most people were living for themselves. It certainly proves this to us, that it's possible to live for God no matter what the environment may be. It's possible to be godly people, no matter what the spiritual or moral climate of any period in history may be. The book of Ruth shines out in the divine record as a testimonial to the fact that wherever and whenever God's people honor Him, He in turn honors them. In this opening chapter of the book of Ruth, we have four major decisions. Four people make decisions that determine their destinies. Someone has aptly said that decisions determine destiny. This book certainly supports that statement and illustrates the truth of it in actual human experience. Elimelech made a decision. We read about that just moments ago. We are told that there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and a man by the name of Elimelech went from Bethlehem, Judah, down to the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. A time of famine. That's a most interesting paradox, because Bethlehem, Judah means the house of bread and praise. But there's famine in the house of bread and praise. That's a paradox. There are a number of paradoxical experiences in the life of any believer. Things occur for which there are no immediate answers. Things occur that are really problems to us. But notice Elimelech's reaction to this paradox. Instead of remaining in the place of divine appointment, instead of learning what lessons God wanted to teach him in this time of famine, he moves from the land of promise to the land of Moab. I say that that was a bad decision, and I'm going to support my statement by giving a number of reasons, which I believe are biblically based, and reasons that I believe will point up to us the importance of being very careful in the decisions we make. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptations or trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." Not everything in the Christian life is meant to be enjoyable. This famine in the life of Elimelech was not a pleasant experience. But we believe that it was a trial sent from God from which Elimelech was to learn certain lessons. It was a discipline. The Bible says, "No chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Discipline for the present never seems to be joyous. It's not a pleasant thing. But according to the Bible, afterward, this discipline will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto all who are exercised thereby. If we try, as did Elimelech, to avoid the disciplines of God, we will often bring ourselves into greater problems. We certainly see that in his life. Let me continue my reading from the first chapter of the book of Ruth. "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husbands." Certainly, Elimelech's decision led to great loss. He went from the land of Bethlehem, Judah, to the land of Moab for the express purpose of saving his life and the lives of his family. He went there to avoid the famine. He went there thinking that this faraway place would support him and give him aid and comfort in a time of great distress. But we learn from the record that it was not a place of gain. It was a place of tragic loss. He made a bad judgment. He made a bad decision. There are three reasons why I say he made a bad decision. First of all, his decision led him away from God's appointed place. God had appointed a place for his covenant people Israel. He took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the land of Canaan. This was to be their place. And when Elimelech left Canaan for Moab, he moved out of his appointed place. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 9, we read this, "And the Lord said unto me," that is, to Moses, "distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession." I will not give thee of their land for a possession. It was not God's will for his people to live in Moab. They were to pass through this land on their way to the promised land. Indeed, the promised land was the place where they were to dwell. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, at verse 31, we read this, "For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein." But we read in the first chapter of Ruth that Elimelech and his two sons and his wife dwelled in the land of Moab. This was not their dwelling place. This was not the promised place of blessing for them. Someone has said that what Canaan was to the Israelite, the Lord Jesus Christ is to the New Testament believer. He's certainly more to us than Canaan was to the Israelite, but Canaan, in a sense, typifies and symbolizes the Lord Jesus. All of Israel's inheritance was in Canaan. All of her blessing was there. All of her possessions were there. And what was true of her is true of us as Christians in our relationship to Christ, only in an infinitely greater degree. We are to abide in the Lord Jesus. We are to dwell in Him and draw from Him all of our resources. The second reason why I say Elimelech made a bad decision is because his decision moved him away from God's presence. Now, our God is omnipresent. We know this to be sure. But there is a sense in which God has special dwelling places. He said to Moses, for example, in Exodus 25:8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." This sanctuary was the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was moved on into the promised land and was set up first at Shiloh. Then it was moved to Jerusalem, and there it was replaced with Solomon's temple. That was God's dwelling place. That was where the people of God were to meet their God. That's where the priests functioned. That's where the sacrifices were made. But there's no priesthood in Moab. There's no temple in Moab. There's no sacrifices in Moab. And when Elimelech moved down to Moab, he moved away from the place of God's presence. And then it was the place of God's provision. God met the total need of His people in the promised land. It was there that they were to dwell. It was there that they were to enjoy His blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, at verse 9, we read this, "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it." Everything that God had provided for His people, He provided in the land of Canaan. Elimelech moved away from God's place. He moved away from God's presence. He moved away from God's provision when he moved to the land of Moab. But here is the sobering note. He did not move to Moab alone. Any person who moves out of the will of God touches for ill other lives. We notice from Elimelech that he influenced those that were nearest and dearest to him when he made the decision to move from Canaan to Moab. Often this is true of us. The people that we affect and influence the most are those that are closest and nearest and dearest to us. It certainly behooves us then, beloved, to be very careful in the decisions we make, because our decisions not only determine our personal destiny, but in a very large measure, our decisions will touch the lives and determine the destinies of those that are near to us.
That I might not sin. Well, you've heard the first of six messages by Wendell Grout from Calgary, Alberta, on the Book of Ruth. I know you'll want to read the Book of Ruth, become very familiar with it, so that God will bless these messages to your heart. You'll hear him again tomorrow. Now, Father, we pray that you'll take these words, these messages, and drive them home to our hearts, and bless them in a very special way to those who will be listening. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, if we can be a further spiritual help to you, do not hesitate to write to us here at the Back to the Bible broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. And now we trust to be able to see you again tomorrow as we bring today's broadcast to a close.